Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Good afternoon and good evening, and welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This is a very special episode of Life Transformation Radio. This is episode number 250. 250 episodes of Life Transformation Radio have been delivered to you and your brain. So I want to thank you all for listening. Otherwise, I wouldn't have a show. I want to thank the guests that I've had on, and I want to thank everybody who has supported me through these last 249 episodes and continues to do so after this one. So I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is heard in over 70 countries. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on Blog Talk Radio Network Tuesday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, and never miss an episode by subscribing wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. Our show is available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, the Himalaya app, and the Google Play Music app. Basically, wherever you listen to podcasts, we are there. Please subscribe and let us know how we're doing by leaving a rating and review. On the show, I bring on entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters and authors who are amazing people and amazing at what they do and having an impact in the world around them. And if anybody does, Thomas Waterman, my guest today, brings the impact wherever he goes. And so if you have a question for any of the guests during a live broadcast Tuesday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, you can join in by calling 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. Call us up, and if you have a question, you can ask it right here live on Life Transformation Radio. And with that, please help me welcome to the show my guest today, Thomas Waterman. Thomas, welcome to episode 250.
I have three words for you, brother. 2, 5, and 0. Congratulations, oh, man. That's the commitment, the consistency, the drive. Like, your why has to be pretty powerful to keep showing up and delivering this value. So, like, props to you, brother.
Dude, I didn't even realize it until like 4th of July weekend. And I was going to speak in Minneapolis. And I was like, man, I got a show to do next week. Like, I'm trying to get my schedule together, and I'm looking at different guests and everything, and I'm like, oh, my God, no way. And I remember being on your show and how really, really good you were as a host. And I'm like, dude, 250, like, I get to return the favor to Thomas Waterman, who had me on his show. I get to return the favor and be his host on the most incredible, like, I don't know, man. People get hyped for 200. Or like, I just think
I'm hyped.
Like quarters, right? 250, 500, 750, 1,000, right? So,
totally.
Dude, super pumped, man.
What are the odds, too? Because I booked the episode like 4 months ago. What are the odds that it was 250? Right. Like, today,
yeah.
It just culminated to this freaking moment. I love it. I think it's powerful.
Right. Dude, I was thinking about that, too, man. As you were saying, like, 4 months ago, I was like, and I look back in April. I checked the text messages,
wow.
And you're like, yep, I'll send it. This is that. Ba-da-doop. Good. Calendly, go. Back in April. And you scheduled
wow.
It back in April. And then through May and June and here in July, it just kind of worked. And I've had guests, dude, I've had guests cancel. I've made up an episode, you know, because someone like canceled, and I was like, oh my God, I don't want to miss this one. And so I had to redo an episode, and there's been some crazy things along the way. And then I even did one on like a Saturday. I did one on a Monday. I included two extra. Dude, there's a lot that has happened, and here we
infinite
are.
Infinite variables.
Dude, so many variables. So I know this is going to be a powerful episode. I know it's going to be amazing, dude. So if you're ready to go, let's do it.
Lock and load.
Outstanding. This episode is titled The Purpose First Movement with coach and podcaster Thomas Waterman. 3.5 years ago, Thomas Waterman quit his unfulfilling corporate job and quit his unhealthy relationship with alcohol so he could fully realign with his purpose. Since then, he has done everything he can to empower people to fully align what they do to make money with what they do to experience meaning and fulfillment in their lives. He currently brings this to life by helping coaches align their purpose with real needs in the marketplace so they can finally ditch the what do I do next question and step into total confidence and certainty in a message, a product, and a place they know will work, ultimately solidifying their path forward as a coach. Thomas is also a TEDx Orlando co-organizer and a newly minted nomadic entrepreneur traveling the world. To join his worthy movement of purpose-driven coaches, join him in the Purposephere Facebook community, his website, purposepioneers.com, Facebook group, and his Facebook and LinkedIn profiles are right there in the show notes. Click those and connect with him today. You will not be disappointed. So with all that, the first question I have, my man, what is your why? Why do you do what you do?
So I feel like my why continues to deepen, continues to unpack layer by layer. And it actually all started with reading Simon Sinek's Start With Why back in 2012. That's really where I finally got the language to understand, wow, there's a thing that's driving me. And at that point, it was very subconscious. And now it's become very conscious. So for me, I've found the power of stepping into my authenticity, stepping into my childlike nature and just expressing myself from that place and getting rid of all of the blocks, getting rid of all of the veils, getting rid of all of the things that are holding me back from me being truly me in the world. So not only have I been on a path for the last 3.5 years to fully step back into that authentic aligned expression and creation, but that's really what I do for others. And I've been naturally doing that my whole life. So my why is to help people see who they are at the core, help them get rid of everything that's not serving them and fully step into their purpose and their authentic self.
I think the authentic self is the most important, I don't want to say way, the most important being that you can be. Powerful.
I agree. The thing is, purpose can, I think purpose is important in life, to pursue something worthy, to transform others in a way that transforms myself. But if I'm not honoring myself, if I'm not doing the inner work and I'm not expressing myself, creating from that authentic place, if I'm not there first, then really I'm going to have tension my whole life, and I'd rather just release the tension.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. I was home in Michigan. I live in North Carolina, but I was home in Michigan visiting some family not too long ago, right around like May. It was like beginning of May. And my uncle and I got into it, and I just told him, like, look, I have to be number one. He's like, no, your kids and your wife. And it, I was like, I'm sorry, man. I disagree. I think that I have to be number one in the sense that I have to take care of myself and be mind, body, and spirit full so that I can show up for my family. Because if I mean, we had the same battle with alcohol. If I'm in a drunken state, how can I purposefully, meaningfully take care of my family? It just doesn't work.
I agree completely.
Didn't believe it. He just, no, absolutely not. No. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know what else to tell you. You know, it was like
that
moment where I'm like, So expand on that, man.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Once again, like a vulnerable personal example always opens up such a space for meaningful conversation. So thank you for leading the way. To me, that's true leadership. And I would say that you're right. It's a seemingly challenge the status quo belief. But what I found is if I'm empty or if I'm feeling mistreated inside, then I end up just projecting that all around me. I end up projecting that onto the people, especially the people I love most. So I understand the idea of serving others, helping others, and that's so important. The question is, how can I do that best? Like, how can I serve others in a way where they actually are served and not actually just me taking my stuff out on them? I'm attempting not to cuss on your show here, man. But that's the thing is, if I can show up and for myself, fill my cup up, then I can serve from a place of overflow, a place of joy. And what yes. if I would rather my loved ones experience joy and wholesomeness than experience me projecting crap onto them through my service and then end up resenting them in the long run. So I totally agree with you.
I literally almost verbatim said the same thing. I said, I have to love myself first. I have to be mind, body, and spirit centered first. I have yes. to be fulfilled first. Not my wife has to fulfill me. Not anybody else has to fulfill me. I have to fulfill me. And then and only then, you know, and not saying that, well, you know, drugs and alcohol make me happy. So that's what, like, not that. It's in the moment. It's in the being of the fulfilled and the meaningful and all that. Can I only then love in the overflow that I'm feeling? So the way that I choose to do it, and this isn't right for everybody, what I choose to do and what my family has chosen to do is lead a spiritually full life to where God loves us and then we love out of the overflow of that. And it's not like a certain religion or not like that. We just believe that, you know, we believe in the spirits. We believe in, the, you know, all that stuff. So that's how we choose to live our lives and our family and all that. So we love each other out of the overflow of the universe, the spirits, the, you know, God, the like all that, you know, and that's what fulfills us and makes us happy. So I just whatever it is that you're doing, be fulfilled. And I love that you said meaningful and fulfilled. That's how you take care of yourself. And that's how you can translate that into somebody else. That's what I believe.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Sean. And my reflection on what you said there is there's a difference between codependent and interdependent relationships. So if I'm serving from a place of scarcity, then I'm now codependent on the person I'm helping to be, I need to be loved. I now have expectations. They need to do things for me because I'm serving them. But if I can love myself and fill my cup up, and then the person I'm in the relationship with can do the same, then we can be interdependent, where we don't need each other. We're not fully dependent on each other, but we choose to step into the relationship, into harmony, into service, because it lifts us up even higher instead of us needing just to get back to ground level.
100%. Totally, totally nailed it, man. What was a transformational moment that changed your life and put you on the path to what you're doing today?
I would say there are a few, but the one I think the one that I think there's, I mean, they're constantly happening. I look at life as just a constant revolution of self. So I would say the one I really want to share is about 3.5 years ago. It was November 2015 is when I made the big shift. But a few months before that, maybe like September 2015, I found myself in that cycle of working the 9-to-5, not liking my job. I would sit down in the shower because I didn't want to stand up, because if I stood up, I'd have to put clothes on. Then I'd have to get my car. Then I'd have to go to work, counting down the minutes until the end of the day. And that's not for everyone. That was just my story. And I ended up abusing alcohol pretty hard. So Friday night with the boys, Saturday night going out, then it turned into Sunday night or Sunday morning brunches, then it turned into Thursday country night, then it turned into Wednesday karaoke. I was finding every excuse I could make to not face my own damn truth. And that's really what it was at the core, not finally step back into my power. So I was attempting to sustain an unsustainable cycle. So I think the moment that really created that shift for me, and not everyone needs this painful moment, but for me, it was me getting nudged by a janitor in a parking garage in downtown Orlando at like about maybe 5:15 in the morning, and me waking up in a drunken stupor being like, where the heck am I? And it turns out I was at, in my parking spot where I work, and I guess I had gone up there to like get a view of downtown Orlando and ended up passing out. And this actually isn't something I've been sharing until recently, and now I'm opening up about it, and it's very liberating because I remember I got up, I looked at him, and then I sprinted home because I lived downtown at the time. And I sprinted home, and I realized I sprinted and didn't walk because I didn't want to have to sit with myself on that 15-minute walk and realize the state of being I'm in. And it's not that what happened was good or bad. It's that it was a beautiful indicator that I am ready to finally step into alignment. I'm ready to fully step into authenticity. Mm. So from that moment forward, I questioned alcohol. I didn't drink. I would go out and not drink, and I'd be like, what is life like on the other side? And at one point, I said, you know what? I'm done, and I'm going to see what happens. If I just don't drink, I'm going to see what happens. And a week later, I quit my job, moved into a co-working space, began my entrepreneurial journey, and haven't looked back. And the beautiful thing is alcohol is more of a metaphor for something that is allowing me to avoid me stepping into my power, my truth, my authenticity. So it's not that alcohol is good or bad, or anything is good or bad is a habit, but what is an indicator of me coming back into alignment? So that was what that was for me.
You know how many times I will be at a business dinner or I'm speaking somewhere and some of the attendees are like, hey, where are you going to eat at? Like, let's go, you know, and everybody orders around or whatever. I'm like, I'll just have like a water. Like, I love strawberry lemonade. I don't know why my new drink is like strawberry lemonade or like strawberry kiwi. You know, like, I don't know why. So I'm always like, can I get like a strawberry lemonade, raspberry lemonade, something like that, you know? And like, you're not drinking? I'm like, oh, no, I don't drink. I'm sober. Like, ever? Like, ever, yes.
Yeah. I get that. Like, sometimes.
Really? Like, well, me and alcohol don't mix, so yes, ever. And they're like, oh. Like, they think it's like super weird. I'm like, how's that weird? Like, I don't, all right, well, whatever. So I choose to live a sober life, and I choose to find other things that, because I believe that I'm not addicted to alcohol. I'm addicted to, it was more the emotion of like how I felt when I was drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to find that emotion in other things. You know, so people are like, man, why are you so productive? Or, man, how can you do so many things at once? And I'm like, because I thrive on that stuff. I thrive so I've basically attached that addiction to like an emotion. I'm addicted to that certain emotion. You know, how do I find that emotion? And so I just try to find things that make me fulfilled, because
something deeper.
100%. Oh, 100%. It just manifests in the alcohol, in the outlet. So I had to go deep, and I never had a mindfulness or meditation routine before. Now I do. I never had a structure like scheduling my life. Like, what am I doing at 8 a.m. or noon? Or what am I doing at 8 p.m. and scheduling my moments? Like, it's family time and it's whatever. No, it's family time. Like, it's, you know, that's what fuels me now.
That's called intentional living, brother. That's a beautiful thing. And what's cool is in the clarity of sobriety, like, sounds like for you and for me, we're able to begin building the structure of our lives in a really meaningful way, in a way that serves me and in a way that serves you and your family, in a way that serves me and the people I love. And that's the beauty of clarity, is it forces, like, it forced me to step into truth, to step into what I actually want. It forced me to step into my power. And I'm really glad that that decision allowed me to experience this whole new life.
It's night and day. I'm not even, I can't even describe, you know, like, people who are regular, not like alcoholic, but like just regular drinkers. Like, maybe they drink on the weekend, maybe they have glasses of wine, you know, they're frequent, a couple beers a night. I can't even tell you, from the time that I stopped drinking, even until now, how clearer I get. But the night and day difference between me being drunk and I'm all foggy and cloudy and like I don't have balance and I just feel heavy, to the moment where even right this second, I'm seeing clear, I'm living clear, I feel clear, I can think clear.
Too.
You know what I mean? And it's a night and day difference what that alcohol does to I mean, not just sober, but like you said, intentional living and living purposeful, how clear you can get.
Yeah, I agree. And once again, alcohol is just one manifestation of entering into the fog so we don't have to face the truth. And everyone has their own story in different ways of how that manifests.
100%. How do you elevate the world around you? The whole premise of the show is taking your why, combining it with your transformational moment, because I feel that people who become advocates for things were mostly the ones that suffered from those situations, from those moments, from those addictions, from, you know, sexual assault advocates and rape advocates and child services. And, you know, you meet a lot of the people who do social work or are a coach for relationships where they were living a life unfulfilled, and now they are fulfilled by doing this one thing. So I'm curious for you, how did that come about for you, and how are you elevating the world around you?
Yeah, so it's the whole idea of turning pain into purpose. And oftentimes 100%. people who have experienced the pain are really good at the purpose part because they have so much empathy through direct experience, right?
Huge.
I think for me, in terms of like, how do I elevate the world around me? It's been a contrast. So in the past, I felt this need of, I need to change the world. I need to impact 1 billion people. I need to make everyone be a certain way. And I think subconsciously, I didn't realize it was because I struggled to cope with how the world was. And it was really a control mechanism in a lot of ways. And I think that can manifest for some people in ways where purpose, or this is my mission, or I'm fighting for this or fighting for that. It's actually just saying, I need to change the way the external world, because I'm not okay with it. And I'm not okay if the world's not a certain way. So that's the first big realization I had in my journey of purpose. So I began really reassessing like what it is I'm here to do. So then I realized, I was like, wow, I'm just going to go inside and focus on what I'm here to do, what I'm here to be. And then if people want to get in on that, that's amazing. If they can want to experience that too, and they want to step into my sphere of influence and impact, that's beautiful. But I'm not here to change the world. I'm not here to impact a certain amount of people. And really, it liberated me in a lot of ways. So for me, I walk around the world on planet Earth. I take one step at a time. And what I do is I'm a mirror for people, and if they want to see themselves. And I'm here to be love. So I radiate loving energy. For example, I go to Chipotle and I show up with a bright spirit. And I radiate love to the people there, and they become my family. And I'm sad when I left Orlando, I left my Chipotle family. I love these people so much. And it was because I let go of needing them to be a certain way and just showed up in love and showed up in light and held meaningful space for them if they wanted to talk about what they care about in life. So it's been a story of liberation, of letting go of control and stepping into like, who do I want to be? What do I want to do? And allowing people to receive that if they want. And I think that's really what it's been about, being a mirror and helping people if they want it and being love.
Dang, brother. That was deep. I'm like, I thought I had it all figured out until you just said all that. It's like you're at that level, man. Like it's amazing to hear.
Layer by layer.
You're at that level. Yeah, I mean, like, because I have a certain level in my head of, like, what things would be like, and I may not ever reach it, but it gives me something to chase, and it gives me something to hope for. And I love the journey so much. That's what I'm loving the most, man, is the journey.
Well, Sean, what I love about what you said is – you have the goal that sounds exciting, but you love the journey. So like, think about the metaphor icing, or the cake and the icing. So what's the cake and what's the icing? So for some people, the goal of changing 1 billion lives is the cake. And what you just said is your cake is the journey. It's the moments. It's the presence. It's the energy. It's the impact in the moment, right? It's right here, right now. Right. And that goal is the icing. Wow, that would be so cool, but there's no dependence on that icing. There's no, right. I need that to be true for me to be okay. And I think that's the powerful place.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Man. It's amazing. I just said one thing and you just like took it to a HNL, man. Whole nother level.
Dude, they call me Yoda in my fraternity in college for a reason. So.
Do they really?
Yeah. I appreciate That's you so diving funny. Deep, man. I these are meaningful conversations for me. So I appreciate you receiving my energy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. And likewise to you. This year, January 1st, I actually changed my show. You know how you have a bunch of podcasts that you're on and what it is they ask you a question and you dive deep just like that. And they go, yeah. And then they ask another question. They don't go deeper. And then they ask a question, and you just deliver massive value. And they go, yeah, oh, yeah. And then they ask another question. And there's, like, no dialogue. Like, so I changed my show because I felt like that's where it was going, because I had, like, I have to ask these questions, and I, you know, whatever. And so I just narrowed it down to, like, three questions. What is your why? Transformational moment. How do you elevate? And then we wrap a conversation around that. And I branded it as Conversations That Transform. And so I feel like somebody listening to this right now will internalize exactly what you said and make it meaningful to them. And they'll pull different things out of the show that make it meaningful for them. And I love that we can go deep like that. And I know someone's going to get value from that. So
Conversation is all about creating space for vulnerability. And and when the cool thing is, when we're vulnerable and we share, AKA I share my beliefs, my story, all of that, now all of a sudden you have new thoughts. There's new ideas in your head that were beyond capacity. And then when you say something, the same thing happens to me. And that's why in conversation, anything is possible. And the other beautiful part about us having conversation in this way, where we're leaning in, we're being vulnerable, we're telling stories, it is empowers the listeners to then take that, as you said, into their lens, into their worldview, into their story, into their experience, and to potentially apply it to create some kind of shift in their life. So that's really the beauty of conversation. And that's why I think podcasts are blowing up, because it's long form, meaningful, it's storytelling, it's vulnerability, and people can connect to that.
Yeah. I completely 100% agree with that. I am curious. There's so much information out there. And I really wanted to ask you about that purpose first. And reason why I titled it, because I'm in alignment with that, is that you must have a purpose or like a why. I guess it could be kind of the same thing. Hmm. But really, do you feel like it's overplayed or like played out? Like, oh, okay, purpose, got it. I saw a course the other day, purpose to profits. And then another one's like, turn your pain into passion, or turn your pain into purpose. Or like, there's all this talk about passion, profits, purpose. Like, there's got to be some kind of a 3 P's course that someone can make, you know, use your pain to passion and turn your passion to profit or something like that. I'm probably giving somebody a really good idea right now. I'm just saying, like, the 3 P's course. Do you think it's overplayed, or you think it's like just a buzzword at this point? Talk to me about the purpose first movement.
Yeah. So I love that take. I love the, like, I think that's so important in the conversation, is to make sure that words still have meaning. Cause if they don't have meaning, then people won't accept them into their mental model and do something. Right? If something's overplayed, then it gets pushed aside. I think the hippocampus does a lot of that stuff. And so this is such an important part of the conversation. I think part of it feeling overplayed could be, because I hear you on that as well, because you and I are in a space where everyone says the word. we have some inherent bias with our limited life experience that's very targeted towards people who are purpose-driven. So sometimes I feel like my words don't matter. And like, sometimes I'm like, I'm saying this, but they already get it, or they don't care, something like that. And what I always find is that's the farthest thing from the truth. That's how I feel about what I'm saying. So what other people, how they feel about what I'm saying, is a totally different story. My most recent relationship, I would say something and I'd be like, yeah, that's normal, whatever. And she would go, no, like, that was amazing. Like, that was epic. That was deep. That was something. And I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean? I say that all the time. So I think a part of it is our inherent bias. And I think a part of it is, yes, I think it's the word purpose and mixing that with all the cool P words is becoming played a lot. I wouldn't say overplayed, but I think it's because people are excited about it. I mean, what about the word marketing? You know, I mean, how long
would we use
the word marketing, right? It's still a word. It still matters. And I think what's the key is making people care about the word. So for example, in my business, I uncovered a amazing algorithm, an equation, if you will, for how really I deliver value. And what I realized, it's 80% making someone realize why this thing I'm talking about matters more than anything in the world to them. And it's 20% teaching them what that thing is. So I think too often people teach about purpose without spending the 80% of the effort and energy helping people understand why it matters, what happens when you use it, how it relates to their life and their story, how it will change everything for them. So I think what we need to do, and whenever we're feeling like the word is getting saturated in some way, is double down on helping people realize that it's the most important word in the world. And then 20% is okay, and this is what it is, and this is how it works. I mean, I think that's the key for everything moving forward, because we have an infinite amount of information all around us. Stop teaching stuff. There's nothing new under the sun. We've been teaching the same wisdom for 3,000 years, if not more. Like, I get it. There is no secret sauce. Like, everyone knows the secret sauce. Let's just talk. Let's help craft the context and the richness that goes beneath that, so people actually will receive it and digest it and use it in their life.
Nailed it. Absolutely love that. What came up for me was that it's the meaning that you attach to the world, to the word. It's the meaning that you attach to the emotion attached to that word as well. You know, when you said marketing, I instantly was like, oh my, all you said was kind of like marketing. And I instantly was like, geez, maybe I'm in a space. I don't know. But it's like, you have multi-level marketing, network marketing, what was the other one? Attraction marketing, which is new. I'm like, what the hell? I thought marketing was supposed to be attracting people anyways, but now they've called it attraction marketing. I don't know. I don't even get that one. They've got content marketing. Affiliate marketing, like there's so much market, right? It's all the same stuff. Attract people to you. Like the essence,
I agree.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. It's how we make people feel about the word. For example, we could probably say the word marketing and make people think something they've never thought before about that word, and all of a sudden they will have a new relationship with the word. Like I could say marketing, stupid word, right? Overplayed. But what is marketing? Well, it's about a market. And what's a marketplace? I feel like everyone talks about marketing and marketplaces, but no one really understands what a market is. A market is literally a community of people who are here to transform others so they can be transformed in return. Love others by serving them so they can be loved in return. It's a beautiful exchange. It's a marketplace for people to serve each other and to create an upward spiral of humanity. Now, who wants to get involved in helping further that in the world? Everyone's like, my hands up, I'm down, marketing kicks ass, let's go.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, and it's all about the way that you portray it into that market and show up and lead the way. And as we do that, we start to get a following and we start to get traction. And then we start to inspire others to live their purpose and live their life. And people are like, I'm really trying to find my purpose. And what I always tell them, and I'm curious to get your take, what I always tell them about purpose, it's what lights you up. When you think about this one thing, what lights you up in that moment? And then usually they come up with a couple of things like, oh, man, I really love this. And then it's all about how can we make money from that, or how can we sustain a living, the whole living, financially and mentally and emotionally and spiritually. How do we put it all together? And then that's when a coach like you comes in and says, oh, well, here's how you can do this, turning your passion into meaningful, fulfilling, you know, work that you can do for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that I love the take. I love asking, what does that mean? Like, what is purpose? And like, how do I find it? Because I think everyone has their own take on it, but not enough people talk about the steps to doing that. It's very pie in the sky. It's very ambiguous. It's very just like, oh yeah, find your purpose, whatever. And I think it's a letdown, because purpose is such a tangible, impactful thing to others and myself. So I explain purpose as, how do I transform others in a way that transforms myself? It has to be this beautiful reciprocal relationship. Yeah. And so like, to add to what you were saying, it's like, what lights you up? I would say it's, think about the last 5 things you've done to help someone else, and they were super thankful about it. They were freaking out, and it lit you up. So they think about the 5 or 10 things they've done, and then we go through and we say, which one of these lit you up? Because it has to be that beautiful reciprocal relationship, because purpose, that's what purpose is. It's that balance. So like for us, we talk about purpose and profit alignment. So it's getting clear on, what's that thing I love to do? What's my gift? What is my purpose in the world? How do I want to transform others? That's on one side. And the other side is more, it's the profit side. That's more of the empathy play. It's going into the marketplace. What are their needs? What will they actually invest in? Where are they at? Where do they want to be? What's holding them back? And then we create a message, a plan, and a product from that sweet spot between, this is my purpose, my gift, what lights me up, and these are real needs in the marketplace that people actually spend money doing. Because what happens when we find that sweet spot, then we can make revenue, and we make revenue transforming others in a way that we love, then we can continue to share our gift. And when we make profit, we can reinvest back into the movement and scale our impact. So I believe that that sweet spot is really where the magic happens.
Dude, I love this 3 or 4 words, or however many I'm about to say. I don't even know, dude. I'm super pumped right now. It's, oh man, I just had it. You said transform somebody, which transforms us.
Transform others in a way that transforms myself.
Oh my God. Man.
The Holy Grail.
Like, holy crap. So let me, oh my God. Okay. Holy shnikes. Okay. Listen,
take a moment.
So dude, my brain has just been like, you just blew my wig back.
Because, I've never heard that expression. Thank you for that.
Because here's what I love about what I do.
Hit
when
me.
I'm on stage, speaking on stage, I give so much of myself to the audience. I'm almost exhausted because I'm giving so much energy, just like I am here. I'm giving so much energy, and I'm super pumped, and I'm excited, and when I'm done, it's like all the adrenaline leaves, you know, like you're on a roller coaster. But I learn something every time I'm on stage. If I go to answer a question and somebody didn't quite get it, I learn how to rephrase the question, which reframes their mind, which reframes their understanding. When I'm on this show, And I just learned some things from you today in a different perspective, which is what I love. I learn things. I'm giving of myself, but in a way I'm learning at the same time. And every show is like that. When I'm coaching people, I'm coaching speakers on how to build a speaker, how to build a brand, a speaker business. How do you, you know, build a podcast, whatever it is that I'm coaching them on, positioning in the marketplace. I'm learning just as much, because I'm learning their type of teaching and coaching style. I'm learning what their business is about and how I can apply what I know to their business, which if I get somebody else with the same exact business, I'm like, oh, I know how to do that because I did it with this other person. So you just put into context what I feel inside. Transform people by how do you say that again?
In a way that transforms myself.
Oh my God.
Transform
that's
others
like,
in a way.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But it's a result, though. I feel like it's a result, though. If you're transforming lives, which is what this show is meant to do, it's this person was dealing with this one thing, and look at them now, and now you can do it too. It's like you and me, or me and the guest, are reaching behind us with an outstretched arm and saying, grab my hand. We will do it together. Mm. That was my whole premise of my show. I want to turn around and I want to reach back behind me and go, this is how I was. We battled alcohol. And somebody listening right now is either battling alcohol or just got over the crest of them reaching the other side of their addiction. And they're looking for something. And this could be it. Thomas Waterman, you could be it for somebody.
This could be it.
And they found you on the show. I don't even know, and we'll never know how many lives are changed because of our show between the Purpose Pioneers and Life Transformation Radio. We'll never know. But I will tell you that somebody will always tell me, man, I heard your show and it was amazing. And I took a couple things away from that. I always get one. There's always one somebody who's like, man, I heard this one episode. Man, it was so good.
Yeah, that always feels good. Well, I think you're talking about it being an outcome, like me being transformed is an outcome. I think that's not always true, and I want to see your thoughts on this, because sometimes I could be doing things and serving others and it just drains me. It's not aligned. It's not really what I want to do. It's not in my unique zone of genius. And I end up I can take away a lot from it, but it becomes unsustainable. And that's why I think it's the beautiful both and. It's the beautiful, it's serving me and it's serving them. It lights me up and they need it. And I think when we can come into harmony in that way, then we can create a sustainable, thriving system. And I think that's really the key with purpose, because I see a lot of people with purposes and they end up speaking their truth, going out there, doing a bunch of stuff for free, but they end up drained and they can't pay their rent and they end up very much burnt out. And on the other side, the profit side, it's I'm selling stuff, but it's meaningless and I'm spinning in circles and I don't know what to do because none of it matters to me. So I end up burnt out on that side too. So there's burnout on both sides, but I think in the purpose, that's why it's so important to come into that harmony between the purpose and the profit.
Mm. Wow. Dude,
yeah,
I think I'm completely stunned. I'm completely stunned right now. Like, you left me speechless for the first time in a long time.
Good, man. On the 250th episode, man. Maybe this is my gift to you, man. Like, 250 episodes, and that's the thing. You did 250 episodes because you're in that sweet spot. And, like, I want you to keep doing this. I want you to keep doing this. And I know that if you're only on the purpose side and it's not serving you, then you're going to get burnt out and you'll stop doing the show. And if it's only on the profit side and you don't care about it, you'll stop doing the show. So, like, I'm excited for you to stay in that sweet spot so you can keep doing this, because this, you're right, this is impacting people on a scale we will never understand, but it is raising the consciousness of humanity. It does matter.
Yeah. What I'm looking to do here probably in the next couple of months is try to get syndication. I really wanted to get some episodes under my belt and really kind of dial in where I feel comfortable with tech issues or my programming, the way I approach conversation, how I am as a host, what's my hosting style. And I feel like just now I'm starting to come into my own. A lot of it was tweaking and playing with things and how does this work together and and I love that this show is live, because today everybody's listening to the show. You and I are doing the show today. There's no waiting, 3 or 4 months or however long it takes to edit some things. Like, everything comes out today and it's up on the podcatchers today, and everything is, so I've solved that kind of instant gratification. People who want to, like, who consume my show, because there's a new show every day. And if they subscribe to it, it hits in their inbox or in their podcatcher, whatever, like every day. And so I figure, since I've got things firing and I feel comfortable, that I think I might try to syndicate, which I'll try to reach more people But I really, you know, like you were saying earlier, like I had to be transformed into that. I can't just step fully into that and go, yeah, I'm ready. You know, I'm more self-aware about myself where I'll know when I'm ready. Like when I did my TEDx talk, like I'll know when I'm ready to do one. And I felt like I'm ready to do one. And I applied for a year before I even got accepted. I was applying. I'm like, I don't know. And maybe it's not working. And I don't know. But then I literally remember it. I was sitting, it was around this time. And I was like, man, I'm so ready. Like, I'm ready to really get serious and really do one. And then it was around like August or September, I had submitted another one and boom, I got it. I was like, no way.
Wow.
And so after that, it was like, I believed in a law of attraction. And I believed that when you are ready, not when the universe is ready, not when anything else is ready, like when you are ready, because so many times you look back in history, even you can go in the Bible if you want, but even in history, you know, like Abraham Lincoln applied to be president 8 times, not applied, but like he ran for office. he ran for office 8 times. He tried to get there, was
wow.
in the race, wasn't even, nobody even knew who this guy was. Turned out to be one of the greatest presidents because it was
wow.
his time.
Yeah. Wow. I have a reflection. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, I'd love it.
Well, first, I think it's beautiful how you honor yourself and how you're feeling about something, like whether you're ready or not. And I think that's mm-hmm. such an important thing, especially for the masculine to step into. So like, cheers to you, brother, to really pay attention to your body and pay attention to like how you're feeling about something. That's so powerful. And the second thing is, I think there are two takes. The first one is my intuition knows when I'm ready or not ready. And yeah. I think sometimes that gets confused with my fears are telling me that I'm not ready and it's making my body feel a certain way. So we can call it like above the line, below the line. So the question I always say for me is, am I feeling like I'm not ready because my fears are coming up, or am I feeling like I'm not ready because my body is like saying, and my soul or my spirit is like, you know, that this not yet on this one. Keep staying true to your course and you'll be ready eventually. So I always mm-hmm. say, like, whenever I'm having a feeling come up around a decision of readiness, I check in and I say, what fears could be the reason I'm saying I'm not ready, or the reason I'm saying no, or I'm making this decision. And if it really, I'm not coming from a place of fear, and then I'll ask myself, if I was coming from a place of love, would I feel ready right now or not ready? And now all of a sudden I have this tangible process of making a decision that actually is aligned with my authentic self, with my intuition, instead of it getting clogged up with potentially fears and trauma that's still locked inside, that's actually dictating my life subconsciously. So I think there's the two angles there.
Mm. Yeah, I fully understand. I dig the intuition. Just recently, I had a conversation, and this is something that I'll never forget. I was working with somebody, as in I was their coach, but we were working together because she's the coach. So it was almost like it was so amazing. We were coaching each other pretty much at the same time.
That's beautiful.
Like super Dude, awesome.
Every coach
is like,
a coach. I love that. Me and my business partner, we coach each other every day.
Yeah. And it was so beautiful, man. Like I would say something like, well, where do you see yourself going with that idea? And she'd say, well, I think this way and I'm kind of feeling this. I'm like, uh-huh. She goes, well, where did that come from? Why did you ask me that? And so we were like, and I was like, well, here's how I do that. She goes, well, do you think that it would be better if you asked it this way? I'm like, okay, what if I did ask it this way? Then what would come up for you? And it was literally a dual coaching session. Like
divine exploration, brother. That's magic.
It was amazing. It Magic. Was amazing. We got so much out of it. And she said something to me I will never forget. She goes, I think that you are more intuitive than you think. It's like, what? She goes, because we did it for like 3 months. She goes, in the past couple months, I cannot believe how in tune I can be with you because I almost know what you're going to say. And you almost know what I'm going to say, but we're on a level where we understand where people are coming from. But I think you're more intuitive because you already know what I'm thinking. because we've just got to that level of, right? We've got to that level of understanding of each other. And I feel it with my wife. You know, my wife, I mean, we've been married for 11 years. And my wife will start to say or feel or act or whatever, and I can just – it's not like, honey, I know something's wrong. Like, I know something's – it's not that type of – I can tell – like, anybody can tell body language. I'm talking about the – I'm so in far deep with the emotion of the words coming out of people's mouths. I can tell just on their regular mannerisms compared to their – I'm pissed off and whatever, not their behavior, but like just their mannerisms. I can see the angst in their posture. Hmm. Right. And I hear and I see and I feel like their energy, and I can just see things. Or my kids will be, maybe it's a dad thing, but my kids, let's say they're walking somewhere and I could automatically forecast. I'm like, if this continues, this is probably not going to go right. Not that they're doing something wrong, but I can just, I don't know, I could forecast things out, and I could just, okay, if I let this horse play continue, like maybe it's not like, hey kids, knock it off. But it's an intuitive, like, I don't want to see what's going to happen on the other side of this. I think now is the time where I need to put a stop to that. But it happens in different things. Like if I'm coming up to, let's say, a red light, and this happened like a week ago, we were coming up and it was green, and then it turned yellow, and I was like, you might want to slow down. She's like, no, I'll beat the light. I'm like, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I don't think we're in a safe distance or whatever. And as soon as it turned yellow and then it went to go red, a guy ran the red light.
Yeah. In tune,
I'm
man.
Like, I told you. And she's like, huh. I just feel things. And so after that 3-month coaching session, I learned that if my body does certain things, I need to react right then and there. Not go, huh, my body was really weird. Like, I need to react, and whatever I need to listen to myself, whatever my mind and body and soul is telling me, just speak it out. And that's what I do now.
That's amazing, dude. And yeah, I agree. That's very intuitive. And the beautiful thing is intuition can be intuitive about self and decision-making and what's true for me, and intuition about the external world. So you seem to have a balance of both. I think that's really powerful. And I think the other thing is, What I'm hearing is inspired action. So you mm-hmm. have stepped into inspired action in your life, meaning I'm no longer having filters. I'm no longer holding back. I'm no longer hesitating. If something is true for me, I'm going to speak it or do it. And that's, I call, like, true presence. That's like true living. It's being alive, because you're being a direct channel for source, for that intuitive knowing. And you're bringing it and manifesting it into the external world. I think that's pretty dope.
You make it sound so awesome. like you should try your hands at infomercials, man. It's like the way that you have with words just makes
you
want to buy
Facebook ads. Infomercials are Facebook ads now. So
well, yeah,
got that on lock.
Pretty much. You make it sound
Thank
so
you.
Amazing.
I received that, Sean. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so what I want to do right now is I want to give you an opportunity to promote you, your programs, products, services, whatever it is that you want the audience to know and to do. This is your moment. Shamelessly plug. Go.
Oh, beautiful. So I believe there are people out there with a gift to hold space for others, invite them into transformation in their lives. Ask them meaningful questions, provide powerful reflections, take people on transformational journeys. And oftentimes, they think that that gift is not meant for what they do for a living. It's not meant for what they do Monday through Friday, but more it's like friends and family and all that kind of stuff. So really what I do is for those people, the people who have the coaching gift, who want to manifest it in a business. And I want to help them find that sweet spot between their gift, what's true for them, and then finally marry it with actual needs in the marketplace, stuff people actually invest in, so they can see that their gift does fit in society. It does fit in the capitalistic marketplace. They can make money doing what they love and sharing their gift with the world. And the beauty, as I said before, is when these amazing people with this incredible gift realize this and find that sweet spot, then they can sustainably change the world, and they can scalably change the world. And that's really what it's all about. So for me, it's about serving them because they're on the front lines of transformation. They're raising the consciousness of humanity. They're transforming people from the inside out. They're using business as a force for good. They're helping us step into this beautiful new energy in the world. And I want to be around people like that. I want to work with people like that. I freaking love people like that. So for me, it's about coming into harmony and connection with those people. And for me, when I transform coaches, purpose-driven coaches, it transforms me too. So if you are one of those people, if you've been thinking about stepping into your gift fully, if you've been thinking about realizing it as a business, then join us in the Purposefear Facebook community so you can walk shoulder to shoulder with coaches just like you because they're in it, they're on a path just like you, and together we are better.
That's boom. It. Oh, man. You should be a speaker, man.
I dabble.
I dabble. I love it. I love it.
I do love it. I do so, love speaking. Yeah. It's amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. I just, man, when I'm on stage or when I'm doing a training or in a boot camp or whatever you want to call it, I feel so at home. I feel like this is my place. I was meant to be on the stage or in front of people or just delivering. Like I feel full of I guess purpose, but I feel whole. That's what I want to say. I feel whole.
Wholeness.
I feel complete. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I feel when I'm on stage. When they announce my name and I walk on stage, I don't say anything right away. I just look at the crowd. I soak it all in.
That's beautiful, man.
And then I just wait. I just look for about 5 seconds and I just smile, you know, and then I just do my thing, you know, and it's just, I feel oneness.
That's the sweet spot though. That's it. Mm-hmm. How I transform others in a way that transforms myself. That balance between the purpose and the profit, like you're in the balance and that's wholeness. It's like the Tao, like dualism, that both sides make the whole and you've stepped into it, man. It's so cool that you found that in your life. And like, how cool is it that we get to help other people do the same? And that's really what it's all about.
I love it, man. Awesome. Where can people subscribe to your podcast, Purpose Pioneers?
iTunes and anchor.fm. That's where we do it. It's called The Purpose Driven Leader. And it's really about the individual leader stepping into meaning, abundance, impact in their work, in their life. And it's a lot of cool practical like business applications to all this deep, meaningful shit. So it's good. It's a lot of fun.
I love it, dude. Absolutely. Thank you so much for being my guest on episode 250, man. What an amazing, I loved this. Out of all the conversations that I've had some amazing, mind-blowing guests. My biggest takeaway from this episode, besides the most amazing conversation I've had today, is that transform others by transform, right?
In a way that transforms myself.
In a way. Why do I keep saying by? Transform others in a way that transforms ourselves. That's going to stick with me as long as I can remember it.
Awesome, man. Dude, what an honor to connect with you in this way. And thank you so much for sharing your platform and keep doing your damn thing. Like, this matters. It doesn't go unnoticed and it's really impactful. So like, thank you, Sean, for doing your damn thing. And thank you for continually checking in with yourself to make sure you're okay and you're honoring yourself as you serve. And I think that's what it's all about. So I appreciate the platform and I'm glad I booked this like 4 months in advance and we could do this, man.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Again, thank you so much for your time, your energy, and being an amazing guest. Life Transformation Radio listeners, if anything resonated with you, please go to purposepioneers.com, subscribe to Thomas Waterman's amazing podcast, go to the Facebook group, join that group, and I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Connect with him on Facebook, connect with him on LinkedIn, and remember to subscribe to Life Transformation Radio and leave us a rating and review. And with that, I always close by saying, Live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.
Boom.